Welcome to the Edge Up Podcast, the show that helps you find your edge to level up your life.
Glenn, have you like seen a difference between going from like sim trading to actually trading some personal live money? Like, has it affected your psychology any? Has it affected your system any? Like, you know, that's a big leap to go from sim trading to personal.
Yeah, I think it's it's like almost 100% psychology. You're constantly like, you can't hit the reset button with these live accounts. Okay. You can't just wait for the next sale and you can go ahead and just reset this account, blow it up on purpose and reset it, and it'll be fine and dandy. You start at a flat line. No, like these losses stare you down day in, day out until you actually perform. And you go ahead and, you know, turn it around. And so the switch, what I enjoyed more is that I have more breathing room. I can trade the way I want to trade. I could truly swing trade, hold long-term holds. I don't got to worry about closing by the end of New York session. You know, we're in Hawaii, and so our time difference does play a factor in the style that I trade. And so, you know, that's something going forward. And ultimately, that's everyone's goal, is to just trade their own funds, make a living off of it, and, you know, live the life you want to live. So that's a big adjustment.
I was going to say, with sim trading, right, isn't there like there's parameters, right? We always talk about when we were sim trading with prop firms, there's parameters. So it's kind of a win-lose thing. In your case, it kind of hurts you because you're not able to hold trades longer. Your swings are a lot more wide than like a typical, like mine, for example, a day trader. It's not swinging throughout the whole session as much. So I think it's a good thing and a bad thing, because let's say you dip way too low and then you get caught and then it's just tanking, right? And maybe there's no risk parameter set, for example. All to say is like, you are 100% responsible here.
100%.
You're not having like your... like no prop firm is going to set rules like, hey, you just hit max drawdown, you're cut off for today.
Let me show you real life right here. Okay, so I remember this day after coming off my all-time high on January. February, I remember I was golfing on this Sunday morning, gorgeous day, right? And I held swing micro Ethereum into the weekend, okay? Because it was a breakout trade. I'm getting in. I have 30 contracts. Okay. Sunday opens up, gap down 600 points. And like my stop loss was like at this low or something, a couple hundred points.
Also didn't fill.
No, this is called volatility and slippage. And like the fill, the only way my broker could execute was down here. And so that was an eye opener. I was golfing. I peeked open my phone because it was 12 o'clock. And I'm like, what just happened? I'm like, why am I down so much? Because I know I put a stop loss and it was good to cancel. And then here we go. Boom. Big gap down. And I guess that's a big reason why the sim or, you know, sim funded accounts don't want us holding over the weekends, because of events like this. Like, I don't even know if there was like actual crypto news, but that's what happened. That's the nature of the markets that happened. I had to just take that on the chin, you know, and continue on.
Yeah, so let's bring it back to like February, you go down, but January, huge spike up, man. Like, you're killing the game. Like, this is going to be a great year for you. And then February comes on, just the nature of the beast, nature of the market. You're following your systems, but through backtesting and all the edges that you're playing out, did you eliminate any or did you add any to, is that why you're red? Like, what happened here?
Yeah, this was an eye opener. And, you know, usually when you're coming off a high, right, mentally, you're like cloud nine, you're like, oh yeah, I could do anything, right? It's just those natural... the thought that us humans get, right? And February came, I got smack in the face. The market will give you humble pie, man. So my takeaway was that I wasn't actively focus on risk management. I could have saved some money here. Lawrence Benstorp always says, like, you are, your biggest drawdown is yet to come, you know, and sure enough, this drawdown came. What I didn't do was actively, like, proactively risk management with my sizing. I had signals, I have a system, I have multiple systems, and I was just taking the signals as they go. And this could be a combination of just market shifting, environment shifting, could be the edge isn't just working out. That's why, you know, on the back test, you want to look at worst case scenarios, because, like, this is a prime example of, like, when you do go live, this can happen, right? $7,000 losing week. A week after, I mean, of course, that big crypto trade just terribly set it off.
So that's from slippage, yeah, the 3K. So yeah. Maybe it affected your psychology a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You realize, yeah, but you know, one thing I'm noticing, bro, is like that's the only 3K day, right? Like everything else, that at least the ones that you're all going through, you're still limiting your full max loss to under 3K. Again, that first day is 3,200. You lost, but it was, we could blame slippage a little bit there. But the fact that, like, you're still trading and you're keeping all your losses, even though they're red, you're keeping them under 3K. That's still solid risk management in that regard, right?
Yeah.
But you're talking about another way to risk manage is actually just lower contract size in this scenario.
Sizing. Yeah, that could have been. That definitely could have helped minimize the losses. I know if I was in a funded or sim funded account, like, I'd automatically lose my account at this point.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're just exceeding the trailing drawdown, max drawdown limits, whatever it may be. When it comes to your live account, like, you don't have that. You have margin call. And that's when the broker steps in, right? So you don't want to reach that point. And, you know, in my head too, I was just taking these losses. I'm like, okay, well, I'm still up overall. We still have a lot of trading to do for the rest of the year. Let me still try to be aggressive or try to just be proactive or take my signals as they come. Don't wuss out.
So trading the same, essentially.
Still trade the same, you gotcha. Know. And so mentally, I was keeping these losses lower. I did have that one day I was showing you, that minus 5K day. And that was just a cumulative of losses. I had 14 trades, two winners out of it. And that equaled out to, you know, $5,600 and or 57. And that's
what that's gotta be the biggest day, you know? It's saying you're taking more, you're over trading today, Glenn. You know, like...
Yeah, well, one thing too, I didn't jot down my playbooks, so I'm slacking in that department. I'm not perfect.
So maybe when you go back, right, you could be like, all right, this system wasn't working, and then maybe after you viewing it, you're like, man, why did I take this amount of trades? Maybe there's something going on that day you didn't even realize.
Yeah,
that's affecting your trading externally.
Absolutely. And I was showing Reed, like, February, March sucked. Completely, and then I was able to come back a little bit. Oh, I remember April is when I had a 15 minute swing strategy for M&Q. I took that away and I focused on ES gold for April, May, June, and I started that looking into intraday strategies instead of the longer term holds, 15, 1 hour, 4 hour. And so I did tons of back tests. Let me tell you, I was able
top 1%, huh? Top 1% on TrendSpider.
Tons of back tests. April, May, June was my test run for these 5 minute strategies, long and short, ES gold. That was my focus. And I was like, once I saw these green months, I'm like, oh, it's working. Okay, let's keep it up. And in May, I don't know what happened. It was terrible. It was a terrible market, minus 7K. You know, I had some wins, but yeah, I was trading mini contracts. I wasn't micros.
4K. That's the second big one, bro.
Yeah, 4K.
But I'm noticing it's like those days, maybe you just limit your trading. Like, okay, after 5, 6, 8 trades or whatever it is, because it looked like those big losing days was over 10. You took over 10 trades and
terrible losing streak. So 26, yeah. 5 days and into the 30th, and another, so 10 days of losing. Now, when you're doing back tests, like sometimes you just overlook these times, you know, like it could happen. Even though it's showing you can have a 40% win rate, strike rate or whatever, like the 10 straight losing days will happen, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll have like, look, I have a win here, you know, so that technically breaks that day. It's not a complete losing streak. So your strike rate is still playing a role here, but this is the reality of the fills, the reality of just, you know, life as it's going. So June, I gave back those gains from April, May, June, July. I was like, okay, I have to like, I was preparing to go on vacation. I was like, okay, I'm going to go take out my laptop. I will do some trading. So the last half of July, I was actually in Philippines trading. And I, you know, tried to just keep it a little bit of trading. I was doing less trades, like 5 trades max while I was there, which is, I did 8 trades here because I had some more downtime. But I could have definitely just minimized it and kept this to be a winning month. August was a tough month as well. I think seasonality too, right? I think
plays a part in the edge, yeah.
Right? Market environments change. I was also changing up my strategies too. And I was adding and taking away instruments. So I think I was trading natural gas still at this point. NQ, I was throwing in oil a little bit of oil here. Gold has been my performance this year. A little bit of Ethereum because I had some nice banger trades for Ethereum. But if I'm just looking at it, August, I weaned off ES, focus on M&Q, kept gold. I think I took out oil for September, brought in natural gas. What else? So gold, M&Q, natural gas. And I'm still trading Ethereum, micro Ethereum through the contracts, the rollover dates. And so that's going forward. That's where this month ended up. And I was able to catch a few good swings, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice. So you got the last quarter of the year coming up, and looks like you're going into it with green. You're only down like $1,200, right?
So 1,600
bucks. You're only down 1,600, but this is your first year trading a six-figure account, personal or private account, like real money on the line, dude. I would say like you're not blowing it up. Just the fact like, it's heroic dealing with a negative 14K drawdown, dude, and then coming back and at least coming out break even, you know, without it really wavering your psychology and your mindset. Instead, what you did, you went into backtesting, eliminated here, cut the fat off certain areas, and then added where you saw value through proven data, which is backtesting. And now you're applying it on the third quarter, you're coming out green. Now we're going strong into the fourth quarter, dude. So, I mean, it goes to show you that backtesting works and just staying neutral and like trading your edge is what's going to get you out of the hole, right? So like trading, if you're in drawdown right now, listening to this, like you just got to keep trading the edge that you know, because I had a bad market time too, but now things are starting to look up, starting to turn green. That's a lot through back testing as well. We'll dive into mine portfolio next time, bro. But yeah, thanks for sharing all of that, because this is valuable for anyone listening. Like if you don't see the screen, Glenn's strike rate is only 37%. Like that's amazing, because we hear a lot that you need 50% or more strike rate to be a successful trader. That's obviously through Glenn's stats, that's not true at all. Yeah. So, and as Glenn was saying, you could have those 10 days in a 10 day losers in a row. So like, let's break it down here. If you have 10 trades and your strike rate's only 37, you're looking between winning only 3 out of 10 trades or 4 out of 10 trades.
Yeah.
So you guys, that's something to keep in mind. Like, although we have probabilities on our side and statistics, we don't know when and how the market will give us those statistics. But we don't just know, as long as we stick to the plan, stick to the edge, and trade it consistently every single time, we're going to have those statistics in the end. So
yeah, dude,
kudos to you, bro. Bravo.
Any it's last hard, guys.
Things to say, man? Yeah. It's trading tough, is easy but hard, right? All you got to do is stick to the plan. But sticking to the plan when you're red is even double the challenge, you know?
It's tough. It's a lot of work. But the best part's that you guys don't have to do it alone. You know, you got us. You got to figure out your support system. You know, like, let us help you so you don't have to go through this stuff yourself, you know? Yeah, it could be beneficial if you actually go through it, but at the same time, like, let's minimize the damage, let's speed up your learning process, let's get you quicker to some results, and go forward, you know. And so definitely reach out to us if this is something you want to eventually be doing.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.